Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Mark Riffenberg. He's Nevada State Director for the Super PAC Next Gen America. He's here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome to the program for the first time Mark Riffenberg. He is Nevada State Director for Next Gen America, which, if I am correct, is a super PAC that is supporting democratic ideals. Pleasure having the program, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So let's start out with, give us a little background on Next Gen America. Who is it? Who funds it? And what's the plan?
So Next Gen America is an organization dedicated solely to turning out 18 through 35 year olds to vote. We truly believe in the power of the youth vote. And I think, you know, what we're seeing right now is young people across the country rising up for change. We know that the 18 through 35 year old demographic is the fastest growing voting bloc in the country. And while that's true, unfortunately, young people vote at a lower rate than their peers in other age groups. And so it's really our mission to harness the power of the youth vote and get young people to wake up to the fact that if they turn out to vote and they show up to the polls in every election, that their interests will be better represented in government and they'll see better outcomes for themselves and for the future.
So I'm a little bit older than you are, I would hazard. I recall when I was 18 to perhaps 25 that I had pretty much zero interest in politics and elections. I was more interested in growing up and socializing. Everybody has been trying to go after the 18-year-olds, the 18-plus group, for decades. What's different now, do you believe, than was in the past?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And, you know, I think that now there's just so much more access to information that's available to young people. You know, we all, at least in my kind of age demographic, grew up with access to the internet. And now we have the influx of social media. And so I think young people have a good source of information on all of these issues, which is really important. But more broadly, I think that the times have become more political. And that's a thing that I think young people feel in a very real way, whether it's student loan debt or thinking about the environment or, you know, thinking about these issues of racial justice and equity. All of the issues that really are going to face our generations for the rest of our lives are at the forefront right now. And so for young people, this is really the time to be involved.
Do you think that it's been an interesting cycle? And we're taping this on the morning of June 10th, so this is the day after the election. We're still waiting for the final results to come in. It's probably going to take, maybe according to the Secretary of State's office, up to 10 days to count really all the votes. But are you a little surprised that even though we've seen a slight increase in turnout as far as ballots being returned, that even with the ease of a mail-in ballot, the numbers, relatively speaking, are so low?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the great myth is that, and this is something that you see the president trying to, you know, the president trying to push, is that, you know, somehow vote by mail is going to, you know, completely upend the entire system. And while it makes it far more accessible and easy for folks to vote, you know, I think what studies have shown is that there's, it provides really no partisan advantage. And so I think that the work still remains to get people to then, you know, get their ballot in the mail and send it in. And then of course there's the issue of, you know, if ballots are going out to all registered voters, is their voter registration up to date at their current address? And if it's not, they're really, their only option is to go vote in person at that point. And, you know, we had very few in-person voting locations, and we saw that reflected in the fact that, you know, some folks were in line at midnight waiting to vote when polls closed earlier in the night. And so I think that, you know, access to the ballot and making it easier to vote doesn't guarantee that more folks will vote. But what it does is it provides the opportunity, I think, in a more equitable way. And it allows folks to, you know, more easily cast their ballot, whether they're working or they've got kids or something like that. You know, they can just fill out their ballot, stick them in the mailbox, and call it a day. But the work remains to still get people to cast that ballot.
You know, what was interesting for me was I've always been a vote on election day kind of person. I would say 99% of the times I've voted have been on election day. But this time, because the ballot showed up in the mail, within, I'd say 48 hours, I already mailed that sucker back. But I think that that's an interesting perspective from my own point of view. But I don't know. You look at other countries, you know, especially war-torn countries, where people have died for the ability to vote, and the numbers are so much higher than we have in this country. And it's just, it's, this is not a partisan comment. It's a nonpartisan comment. It's a tragedy that we don't vote in greater numbers in this country. And you would think that all that has gone on in the news, and as you were saying, the communication that we have now is so much greater than at any other time in history, that it would push people to go out and vote. You're seeing, and this is interesting, I think, too, on a social basis, young people are definitely getting up and getting out and marching in these marches, these protests, etc., in far greater numbers than we've seen in a long, long time. And yet that isn't translating, at least in Nevada at this point, into a vote. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so I think that that's to be determined to some extent. I think that, you know, in 2016 was some, you know, 3 or 4 years ago at this point. And you know, in the meantime, we had pretty much record youth turnout in 2018 based on, you know, the campuses we were organized on and the precincts that, you know, occupy those campuses. We saw some significant increases in young people turning out in 2018. I think the question remains, you know, will that happen in 2020 as well? You know, live in Las Vegas. If I'm a betting man, I would say that the answer is yes. I think that what we're seeing now is young people more energized than ever by these social movements. And more broadly, I think that, you know, I think that that's something that is going to really help bolster turnout. And I guess to speak to your other point about, you know, the voter turnout being low and how it's a tragedy, I 100% agree. And I think that, you know, young people in particular, you know, we were born some, you know, however many years after after the right to vote and the fight for the right to vote for so many different demographics and just more broadly was settled. And so, you know, I think when you look at countries where people are literally dying trying to cast their ballot, or in hopes to be able to cast a ballot. I think it sends a message that largely our right to vote is something that's taken for granted. And so what I would say is that, you know, if you're a young person who's watching this program, and you are on the fence about whether or not you're going to show up to vote, just a reminder that it is something that is unique and incredibly important. And it's something that allows you to have a say in the future of your country and how things will play out for your generation. And so it's not something that we can take for granted. And it's not something that's a given. It's something that we have to keep doing to maintain.
Maybe if we got people, when they voted, instead of getting a sticker to get the purple finger, maybe, you know, that would highlight, you know, how many people actually really voted. And of course, I'm kidding about that. Obviously, as Next Gen America is active in 11 states, those are the battleground states, and Nevada continues to be a battleground state, which is fascinating because so many people have had discussions over the last few years that with the population of Las Vegas growing rapidly and becoming more and more Democratic in terms of party affiliation, that it's canceling out the rest of the state. But that really isn't true. Rural Nevada is solidly Republican. Washoe County is still the swing state in the swing state. What's your take on this, and where are you going to concentrate your activities?
Yeah, so our efforts are mostly on college campuses. Obviously, that has changed in the era of COVID, and we have become, I think, more broad in our outreach. But I think what you say is true, right? Is that often it's taken for granted that, you know, Clark County is a Democratic stronghold, and while Clark County has pretty reliably delivered for Democratic candidates the last few cycles, I think we can't overlook the value of organizing places that traditionally we haven't had the opportunity to organize, because I think at the end of the day, progressive issues are issues that are applicable to everyone, no matter where you live, no matter what your partisan affiliation is. And I think COVID is a really great example of that. You know, I know one thing that Next Gen as an organization has advocated for is a universal basic income. I think what we're seeing right now is folks who were out of work and reliant on, you know, unemployment and that sort of thing to make ends meet, who are now faced with a really tough decision about whether or not to return to work and risk getting sick and getting their families sick, and you know, collecting a paycheck. And so I think there's a lot of issues that, you know, are typically painted as these progressive issues or these far left issues that are really applicable to anyone, whether you live in, you know, Las Vegas or you live in Elko, you know, whether it's $1,000 a month or some other denomination, you know, a universal basic income allows you to take care of your family and stay safe and stay healthy, you know, regardless of what your party registration is. And so that's just one issue, but there are many issues that overlap, I think, with different demographics.
All right, so I got to respond to universal wage. You know, at this point in time, and you don't know this, but my other business is running an advertising agency, so I have business clients, okay? Right now, because of the additional $600 a week unemployment, companies cannot find employees to come back to work. The jobs are opening up again, but the companies are having trouble. And I'm talking about businesses like HVAC, roofing, et cetera, and beyond. And you throw into that, in addition, universal wage. Why the heck would somebody bother to get out of bed in the morning and go to work when they can get all this free money? I mean, I think you're gonna see a revolution in this country if they don't change the unemployment. And I'm not saying take it away 100%, you know, maybe you have to back it off bit by bit so that the people are not in crisis. But I don't think that people are going to want, you know, a percentage of people are going to want to go back to work until they're forced to.
Yeah. So, I think that if we need to see a revolution in this country related to unemployment, then it has to do with wages. I think the issue that we face is that, I guess here's the point. Is if you believe that that's the case, and And, you know, people are, you know, getting more money off of unemployment. And I've had to use unemployment before, and by no means do they pay you enough to really live a robust, full life. And, you know,
hang on, Mark, people are getting $4,000 a month right now to be on unemployment because of this additional $600 a week. So people are making excellent money by comparing, you know, you look at Nevada, we are a huge service industry. So, you know, a large proportion of our population is not making, you know, millions of dollars a year. They're working, you know, in a service situation. I think one of the problems that MGM, for example, has had is unlike Wynn and Las Vegas Sands, where they continue to pay their employees the whole time that they were, you know, furloughed, MGM is having a harder time getting people back to work because of the fact that they actually laid off people and now they have to rehire them. I don't know, man. You know, I'm just trying to be realistic here, and I don't think this is a partisan issue. I think this is just a reality issue. If you give me $4,000 a month, that is enough to live on. Not like a king, but it's enough to live on, and maybe more than you were making if you were making 12, 13, 14, 15 bucks an hour. And so I think we have to change that and get people back to work. And that's where that universal wage, you know, I'm a business owner. I pay people to come work for me. They have a choice whether they want to come work for me at the rate that I pay or not. But, you know, if you start giving people money for nothing and they don't need to go to work, why would they?
Yeah, I mean, I can't answer that question for, you know, for the entire country, right? I don't know what each individual person is going to do. And, you know, I think that the point that I would make is that we need to be paying people in this country a livable wage. And if that means that, you know, folks are making enough to feed their families or to you know, put food on the table or what have you, that's frankly what we need to be doing. And you know, I think that based on how the unemployment system works, I'm not an expert on this, but I know that it's based on the, you know, the pay that you made for the last however many months. And so, you know, if you're making those $12 an hour at MGM, you're probably still not bringing home. I think the $4,000 a month might be kind of an isolated or a few folks or whatever, but what you got to think about is that I don't think that in the face of a global pandemic, you can necessarily fault folks for saying, you know what, I don't necessarily want to go wait tables right now. Because the reality is while we've reached phase two or phase three or, you know, any of these phases, the virus still exists. There's still no vaccine. There's still no reliable therapeutics for it. And so if you're faced with the choice of having to either put yourself and your family at risk, or go work for $12 an hour, I think for a lot of folks, that's a really tough choice because, you know, life is really all you got. And so, you know, when it comes to health and that sort of thing, I think that a universal basic income would be helpful. And I also think that it is a thing where we need to have a conversation about wages in this country and making sure that everybody gets a livable wage.
Well, I think we've been having a long conversation about wages, but let's take a break. We'll come back more topics right after this timeout.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Kenneth, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mark Riffenberg. He's Nevada State Director for Next Gen America. Okay, so as you were saying earlier in the program, your target demo for your organization in these 11 battleground states is 18 to 35. How do you persuade those people that a 78-year-old understands who they are, what they are, and can represent them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reality is, you know, we can't expect, a 78-year-old to necessarily understand everything that there is to understand about being a young person in America. What we can do is look at the policies that they're putting forward and think, is this something that will move the ball forward on progress for my generation, right? In 2020, we face a stark contrast. We have the future of the Supreme Court basically for the rest of our lifetimes at stake. We have the health of the planet and the environment at stake. We have the ability to make progress on social issues, on issues of race and equality, that's at stake. And we have economic issues and issues of healthcare. All of these things are on the ballot. And so, you know, while no individual representative might not truly get our generation, I think that young voters don't necessarily expect them to. I think that what young voters want is to see movement in the direction of progress on these issues. And as long as candidates are moving the ball forward, I think that that's what we're looking for. Is we're looking for somebody who's going to represent our interests and make things happen for our generation.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous, If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're continuing our conversation with Mark Riffenberg. He's Nevada State Director for Next Gen America, Democratic Super PAC. So it would strike me, as we were just talking in the previous segment, about the disparity between the voting bloc that you're trying to attract, the 18 to 35 year olds, and a 78 year old Joe Biden as the candidate. So it therefore behooves that whoever is the vice presidential pick is even more important, because that, I would presume, is the person that is going to be reaching out to this generation that you're trying to attract. So at this point in time, we have less than a minute, about 45 seconds. Who are your top three picks that you would like to see that would help your efforts?
Oh, man. Gosh.
Name one.
Stacey Abrams is great. I love Stacey Abrams. I think that she would be a really great force out on the campaign trail. That's a tough question in 45 seconds. But yeah, I mean, I think that Joe Biden's going to make the right pick. And I think that regardless of who it is, he is far better for the youth vote than Donald Trump.
All right. And that's where we got to leave it. Listen, Mark, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to having you and folks from your group back on the program as the election proceeds. There's a long way to go till November.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenneth, Dad? Are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.